Patreon exclusive.
I see you playing with your DualSense and your PS5, and I'm like, f*** you. I guess that Phil f***ing Spencer wasn't enough. I'm like, f*** you, Joanne. Fuck out Tuesday, so you like Cerny. I think he's so pervy. Ha! Now ain't that some shit? And although we fight and offend, I still love you, my friend, with a f*** you.
What are we talking about?
Okay. Nobody. I'm worried about you. That's what we're talking about. You okay?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
I've been working my butt off. So real talk, guys, everybody, yeah. I just assume we're recording. I had 4 interviews and I nailed all of them. Like, for
yeah,
one job.
You did. Do you think, do you, no, I'm wanting
it,
you to tell me.
I didn't get it.
I didn't ask you that. Sorry. When you walk into a businessy situation like this, very professional setting, do you start to think as you're talking, wow, I'm a really good podcaster?
All the time, dude. All the time.
I got this, no problem. You're like, oh, we got a question coming in from the audience. It's you, the interviewer.
And that's what I'm really good at, dude. Like, the interview, like, the thing that kind of fucks me up a little bit is, like, there was not a point where I didn't think I had it.
Right.
Even the presentation, they were wowed by.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, and if they were acting, man, like Academy Award winning, I really thought I had this shit in the bag.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have this shit in the bag.
Oh, and no. Maybe they're tin acting.
Well, the thing that I thought was a little fucked up was this, like, hey, you know, I wish all you guys the best. Hey, is there anything, like, you know, that I could have done to spotlight myself a little better? Let me know. I'm always looking to improve. Nothing.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, then you know what? They got nothing. Then you want nothing to do with those people.
Exactly. I was like, okay,
yeah, well, nothing. Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. It's a 2-way street. This interview. It's an inter. Yeah. Like, it's you gotta be a match for you. It's gotta be a fit for you.
Yeah. So I've been working 12 hours every single day for the past week, and I've had it. I'm mm-hmm. at the breaking point.
Yeah.
Really is. It's just, it's a lot.
But you still got you got your show out yesterday. You guys recorded with IGN. I think all of IGN was on your show.
That's right. At this mm-hmm. point. How was that show, by the way?
I enjoyed it very much. Yes, okay, especially when Travis had my back.
I mean, he's a contrarian.
Sounded like my pick. You know what? In these days, in these times, we need it. We need a contrary. Everybody at these places are all the same. It was nice to hear some fresh takes on the show.
Honestly, I love his takes. It's just a different. It's a different perspective, but it's not like the polar opposite. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not like edgy to be edgy. So that's what I was really trying to get at here.
Yeah.
He's and the thing is, I'm like halfway through this interview or the podcast, I'm like, damn, he is so much smarter than me.
He's so good, right?
Fucking genius. Yeah.
Is he a writer by trade? Like, what's the deal?
He does other things outside of IGN that I won't talk about.
Do you find some, like, because I haven't listened to like IGN podcasts in a long time, but when I did, I definitely like would notice, wow, they really get to the point a lot faster.
Yes.
Than many of us, you know, and I think maybe, and this was a long time ago, maybe we've all gotten better since then, but I remember thinking like, wow, like right off the top, like they hit their point and like there's something to it. I mean, they're boring as all get out. Let's get like nothing like the trophy room.
That's right. God bless.
But yeah, like they're quick. They're quick witted.
Yeah. And that's what I always like. I'm envious of those podcasts because like they're just they know how to get that point. And just nail it in less than 30 seconds. You know? I'm always envious of that. But there's also a magic that's lost by having something that is maybe a little bit too concise.
Agreed.
Right.
Yes.
And maybe that loses the passion or the authenticity of it. Where maybe it sounds a bit rehearsed at times. So that's where I think our podcasts come in.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm getting at, but I never really would have articulated it in that way. Is that, it seems like it was written down before, and And in some cases, I'm like, if you look on the video, I feel like maybe it might be.
Sure.
Like they know what they're going to be talking about. So they've got like their speaking points that they're kind of running through. And it's like, that's not what I'm here for.
Like, you know? when we write the trophy room, like you've seen the notes, it's, you know, it's literally the articles that we've taken from, and then audience questions. And then like, it's a general, if we don't have any audience questions or there's something that I feel like I could put in, I'll put in one question that I want to hit at, but I don't necessarily have an end game for it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it, I think, a bit special. And also I feel like we have skin in the game, because these podcasts for us are bigger than what podcasts for IGN are.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's weird how that, and I don't want to like slam IGN the entire time, but like it's like Podcast Beyond, I don't know if it's the same anymore. I don't know if there's like another like group of young people like listening to it in the same way with like, you know, bright eyes and bushy tail like we were. And it's like, oh my gosh, how do I do that? How do I be Greg Miller and all these people? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if people look to IGN for that anymore. I feel like people look, it may be just in different places, but
they're starting to look at us. And that's a really weird thing to say. I think they're starting to look at us. I think the age of the micro influencer and the YouTuber and the streamer is on the rise. And then that becomes the death of media literacy.
I know.
So much clickbait out there. We've seen it this week. Like, I fell for it. I talk about other reviews. Like, damn, I see this person being screwed by this big company. I don't care. I want to side with the person. And it's way more complicated than said person lets on, but we believe it because we're kind of egged on to, or we feel like we have to, right? Yeah. That's one thing that why like, you know, there was something in our Discord where you're like, I don't want to talk politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very,
like,
very.
I have zero interest in it. Like absolutely zero, none.
Unless it's a cage match. I want to make that
clear. What do you mean? What do you mean if it's like, we're actually like UFC fighting?
Yeah, like I want to see Liz Truss fight Boris Johnson, you know, something like that. And then whoever wins is the leader of UK or whatever.
I see. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't want to talk about it.
I like put Biden and Trump in a cage. Let them settle it.
You know, it's funny.
That's what I'll start talking about. God,
damn it.
But like so many podcasts feel the obligation to, like I feel certain obligations to speak on certain things, but the moment has to call for it. Right. Or else it just gets so boxy and really fucking annoying. And like for you, it's just like, no, that's not what this podcast is. Like this podcast, I'm just talking about Nintendo. Who gives a shit what I think about whatever the hell's going on in the UK? Guys, what's going on over there?
I don't know. Generally, that's why I don't want it. Like the thing is, I don't think that especially y'all in America, like there are more countries in the world that are listening to the podcast than the United States of America. So who cares about the whatever individual country of politics? It's like, sure. Whatever, man, it doesn't matter. And to the overall point, which is kind of related to video games and kind of having your speaking notes prepared, is I feel like sometimes people have such an adverse reaction to a point of view that is not theirs, that if it's not coming out of like this ideologic like book of pre-approved messaging, then people have a real problem with it. And that's accentuated to the 10th degree in video in politics. But there's definitely an element of that in video games.
You're either for this whole regulation thing with Xbox or you're not.
Totally.
You can't feel like, I love what Travis said. It's the same viewpoint I have. I don't like the consolidation, but do I really care about Activision Blizzard? Not really. And like, that's my thing too. It's like, you can feel differently rather than there's this line in the sand. Everybody's in their own boxes. If I hear an opinion that is not exactly mine, I'm going to hate you for it. If you're not playing the thing that I want, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of entitlement. It's a little bit of echo chambers, a lot of things just rolled into really everything. So
I remember early in my career when like we were handed like a brand book for the organization I was working for. And it's like, you say this and you don't say this. And it's like, that made our lives easy, because like we knew we could write a bunch of copy and stuff and know what the rules were. But then that like became like everything. everything had, it seemed like a brand book or a rule guide of you should say this and you shouldn't say this and you should say it like this, like use even these words and not these words. And it's like, that ruins the conversation. I'm so interested in hearing the little grays in here.
Absolutely. And I think that's why our podcasts shine out, because I think what you get from the bigger outlets is safe opinions.
Yeah.
And even where they made Dieter, it feels safe, where I think because we're a bit more raw than them, that's where people find the authenticity. And at least that's where I think. And that's why they're able to kind of jive with us a bit more. Not to speak down to people like IGN are kind of funny, or even Colin Stand. It's just there is a rawness to what we do that more and more people are getting their gaming news from us than them. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. And I love that people, love my dumb, stupid little voices. There's these little.
Was there ever a doubt? Was there really a doubt about that? You were talking about this on the show that you were like,
well, Douchebag12345 thought so.
Yeah, no, he obviously wanted they don't
know mean about it.
Yeah, yeah. The voice is, it's one of the things that without a doubt makes your show special. And you also have a level of trust with Kyle and with the audience and the community that you can say things. I think that has a lot to do with it. You need to have a trusting relationship with both ends of it, with your co-host and with your audience, that you can go ahead and maybe even explore a thought that you haven't even fully crystallized yet. I don't know what I think most of the time, shocking. I know. But sometimes things will kind of strike me and hit me in a certain way. And it's let's sort this out. And, we put a microphone in front of our faces, I guess, to do that for some strange reason.
There are times where I'm recording before I'm recording the trophy room, these are the ideas I definitely want to get out, but I don't make it the mission to hit all of them.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to happen. You have ADHD. And so, you just wing it and hope for the best. And, for the podcasts that want to hit every note, they just sound like a whole bunch of monologues. So, yeah.
Holy crap. Hey,
is this a console war room?
I got a new Monopoly piece from McDonald's, finally. Yeah. And I know you'll recognize this one. The Algonquin Provincial Park. It's yellow. Wow. It's a yellow one. Yep, I got
Algonquin.
It.
Algonquin.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's you didn't even need to see the letters to mispronounce word that I literally just said out loud to you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put it on my little piece of paper here. Need one more, Joe. I just need one more. I need Whistler. I need the Whistler piece and I get a prize.
What happened to Monopoly? What happened to Broadway?
It's places in Canada. That's what this is. These are all places in Canada.
Canadian Monopoly.
Yeah. Instead of the railroads, it's the Ronald McDonald house in Montreal. That's what this one is. Instead of the railroads.
People make me fucking sick.
Do you have a Ronald McDonald's house? Do you get the charity? Ronald McDonald's charity house? Families and stuff? I'm not
fucking putting any money in there.
Well, I didn't either.
It's just a tax write-off.
Speaking of tax write-offs, I'm gonna see you soon.
Yeah,
we're gonna touch. We're gonna sit on a couch together. Oh my gosh, right next to each other. It's gonna be so good.
You get to explain. Now that I have you, let's get to the console war room. Oh. You get to explain all the bad decisions you've made. What has led you to this point? What led you astray, Sean?
Brian Murford. Did you know that Court Lalonde renamed him Brian Murford? And I think it's the funniest thing in the world. So stupid. Okay, do I need to bring this up? You're right. I've not had a good time in fantasy this last little while. I've got no comebacks. I don't think that there's any other games that we could possibly get.
And now here's the thing. Because I was talking to Ains,
so much.
And Ains was like, why are you so serious about this fantasy league if it's just for bragging rights? There's nothing, there's no reward. I'm like,
you don't get it, Ains.
Exactly. I'm like, you don't get it. It's just for us to talk shit. But then I was like, okay, so the rules is if we win, I come and I host the Xbox Drive.
Yeah.
If you somehow pull out a speaker,
Pentiment. Come on, Pentiment. Give me a 90, man. Is there any chance that it does? We're up by 2 points right now.
Yeah.
The things that kill us continue to be Microsoft Flight Simulator, a self-inflicted zero, which is ridiculous. It's and Scorn sitting at a nice 69.
Honestly, that's a W in my book.
That's brutal.
And Valkyrie.
Valkyrie Elysium crushes me. Because Ryan played the demo. All these others, like, I haven't, it's not like I've been perfect in this either. I put a lot of faith in a bunch of Nintendo games that I haven't figured it out. But Ryan played the demo of Valkyrie Elysium. He's like, this is good. This is the best one. He played a bunch of demos. He's like, this is the one. If you say so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't tried the demo myself. So who knows?
I mean, the demo was good, but like, it was a hit and an eight, you know?
Well, at least we didn't get Gotham Knights or whatever came out.
We dodged a bullet. I told Kyle, I was like, take it off. I know it's gonna hurt, mm-hmm. but like, I think this is a 70 game.
That's actually good. That's, you know, I make fun of you because Kyle has done literally all the work. Well, but if that was genuinely your call, that's pretty good.
Genuinely my call. Playtale mm-hmm. was my call. Pokemon, I was like, we are under
Pokemon. So. I don't know how we missed. Well, it's not guaranteed.
Cuphead was, I believe, also like it was. That was like,
These other DLCs, they're BS, man.
Yeah, they're Shredders BS. Was mine. I'll always admit a mistake. Yeah. Ghostwire Tokyo also my mistake. But
yeah, I would say Ghostwire Tokyo was a risky one. Like, it could have been great, but Scorn is a. I'm going to be scorned by Scorn. You know, dang it.
So here's what I got left. Okay. Here's what we got. Here's what we have in our arsenal. Right?
Well, what about Need for Speed Unbound? Ooh-wee.
That could be.
I'm hearing things, Joe.
I'm hearing things about God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Have you gotten your code 78. Yet?
We've not got a code, actually. We got cut, man. They're like, really? You guys keep getting all this stuff wrong. You're going to say Uncharted 4 on PC is like average at best. We're done. We got cut off, man. We gave a very honest review of Uncharted 4 on PC.
God of War Ragnarok, I think, is going to be. I feel like there's a PlayStation curse.
Agreed.
88. God of War Ragnarok.
Tops. Your first tops. Time. I think so. I think tops for sure. Yep.
What else? Bayonetta, I do think is a 90.
Not anymore. I think it's gonna be it's gonna be a 40.
And then Callisto Protocol, which is now confirmed, Sean, from the horse's mouth.
I don't know about 60 that.
60 frames per second.
I believe it when I see it. Support Crunch. Keep supporting Crunch, Joe.
Dude, those devs need to work fucking harder. Like, let's be real.
15 hours. They're 12 hours. Make it 15 hours.
Art doesn't get made in under 40 hours. You know, you got to work, bitch. Just like what Britney said. That was actually a quote from Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. Mm-hmm.
But I'll support people not seeing their families if it means I get a win.
if it means you get a video game at the tail end of the calendar year after you've bought everything else and you really don't have time to play that one.
What does that mean?
What?
Oh, like Elon just announced that when he... When he buys Twitter, he's going to literally slash 75% of the jobs there. So it's like, I don't give a shit about your livelihoods. Mm. You know, I want to get the W. Callisto Protocol, get to work. Get to work.
Yep. Well, we'll see.
What am I not paying you for? And then Pokemon Scarlet, man, you're fucked. Like, I'm looking at this. I'm really like, I think we start winning with Bayonetta next week. We solidify the lead with Ragnarok. We gain momentum with Pokemon. And then Tactics Ogre, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bit of a who knows. But you're forgetting our ace up the sleeve, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be good. 85
is at its highest it gets.
Probably. Highest. Probably, yeah.
Track record there. Not good in recent years.
I mean, Destiny 2, the Witch Queen got 88, man. It's not impossible for these things to happen. But we got that Soul Hackers 2, 75. Thank you, Ryan Turford. Yeah.
Oh man, you think he's gonna listen to this? He's gonna be like, "Yeah, what the fuck?"
Yeah, I mean, he's used to it at this point. But also, he could say like, "Thanks for the Nintendo Switch Sports, Sean Capri 71. Good job.
That's a bad call.
Yeah, Mario Strikers Battle League 73. Good job, oh, Sean Capri. Yeah, but then also Dead Space Remake. Good job, Ryan Turford Zero. I'm not even inviting you on this show. I'm fighting.
I know, this is my plan. I'm splitting up the carpool.
And then it ends with you actually coming on to the Xbox Drive.
It's the Game of Thrones, man. I'm the Bran Stark at the end of it.
I don't know anything about it. Oh, really? I never watched Game of Thrones.
Well, it's really weird because like in the first season of the first episode or whatever, almost 10 years ago or whatever, you know, the whole kit and caboodle is like there's a sister and a brother. they're getting it on, and everybody thought it was gross. This season or this show, now it's an uncle and his niece, and we're all cheering it. So it shows how depraved the internet's become.
I just want to say that we went 3 for 3 on our counter picks. Forza, nowhere to be seen. Not even close, actually. You guys weren't even close. Spring of 2023. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, not even close. And Hollow Knight, for some reason, you think like it's still happening?
There's a chance.
That game is going to come out after Chicken Wiggle somehow.
And we will win.
Well, it's garbage because
we... What happened to Chicken Wiggle?
I don't want to talk about it.
Wiggle.
I don't know what happened to it. It's Hatch Tales. I gave money as well, man. You know who else gave money and a lot of money? Bobby Pauls. You have a lot of money to that. I know.
Stupid idiot.
I know. He tricked all of us, actually.
Yeah, he really did.
Ponzi Bobby. Scheme. Yeah.
What if he faked his death and he has all the money?
I hope so. It's funny you should say that because I was thinking about that the other day. Like, because sometimes I'll have dreams and he's there. And it's like, what if he was just hiding the whole time? Like, who wouldn't want to do that? Fake their death, see what people say about you.
Move to Cancun.
Cancun.
That's in Florida, right?
I don't think so. No, it's in Mexico. What do you mean? Are you for real?
Oh, Mexico. And there's a little Enya on it.
It's so like it's got a whole. That's how you know. There's no accents on any places in the United States of America. Yeah.
Unless it's Fanta. No. That's a fact. Look it up.
I don't want to.
Look it up. All right, can I talk to you about something that's really just.
If you want,
it's really getting to me. Do you think we're gonna get a PlayStation showcase, Sean? I'm like scared it's not happening.
Who cares? Who cares about PlayStation? No, I don't think so. Why are people asking for one now? Like we've got the whole rest of the year set out. You'll get one in January or February, like you always do. Like stop. Is this like your first time? Like, are you new?
I think so, yeah.
You never get one in November. Look, what the heck is going on here? These rumors are baseless. Exactly.
No, it is. It was silly. And Travis is like, oh, I know the guy. He wouldn't write shit. I'm like, I've read his articles. I'm telling you, maybe you write a little smut here now.
What? Smut?
Yeah, a little smut. I've read.
Yeah, I don't get it. No, Xbox is the only one who doesn't participate in the early calendar year shenanigans, which sucks for Xbox. But like Nintendo and PlayStation for the last couple of years, they're like February-ish. They're going to come out and tell you what's up for that year. And it's awesome. You don't need anything now. Like, I can't remember who was saying it, but I think it might have been Kyle, your co-host, was like, I think it might have been somebody writing in. My apologies. I think somebody was writing in saying that there's definitely going to be a showcase before God of War. Are you nuts? Yeah. Why would you distract to anything else before God of War? Everything's steering towards God of War, which actually we've seen very little of, which is shocking. And you should be worried about that. I think you should be worried. Sony is afraid of God of War being, you know, God of War 1.25, not even a 1.5.
Sure.
It's the same canoe animation, you know, it's squeaky voice getting a little bit squeaky, like acne.
Maybe that's why Atreus. It's going to be an 88.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I don't think I think... No, I'm just kidding. I think it's going to be amazing. Actually, I think it's going to review quite well. But no, there's no way any showcase happens.
For me, I don't think it dethrones Elden Ring for me.
Probably not for you personally. I never played it. I'm not good enough at games. I've just been driving around race cars.
Elden Ring is probably the easiest one.
I'll to win game of the year? It. Just do it?
No, I mean like the easiest from game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. You just look
maybe I'll try it. If somebody has it at Extra Life, maybe I could give it a shot. I'll give it a try.
Okay. Yeah, why not? Okay, so I think it's probably December, January.
December? You know, right. Why? What? What do you mean December?
That's where they announced The Last of Us Part 2, and everybody lost their fucking mind. Remember that.
At a PSX. Yeah.
PSX in December. That was huge. Hmm. So why not have your own little fucking showcase in December?
I think things have changed. I think the Game Awards is it. I wonder if you get a price for have we got a price for VR too? We don't have a price for VR.
Oh, maybe you get it there. Yeah.
I think we get a lot of hardware. I think we get Keystone on Xbox. Uh-huh. I think we get maybe
honestly,
that maybe
I'm,
that
I'm intrigued disc- about that, by the way.
Yeah. I would love to see Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox each have like their own, like, here's the next like half step or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that'd be neat. Keystone for Xbox. I don't know about like each that maybe that's an overstep. But something hardware related. Maybe Switch 2 is probably the closest thing to like a half step. Or next step. I think Keystone for Xbox and then VR for PlayStation, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Sean Layden and Reggie and Phil all get up on stage together and Phil says, I ended your careers, bitches.
Well, that's funny because honestly, if this thing doesn't go through, Phil Spencer's probably not the CEO of Xbox Gaming.
Well, dude, whether it goes through or not, I think his like retirement or stepping away has got to be coming up soon.
Yeah.
Like he has been going a billion miles an hour. He's so relatable and he gets on camera and he's very, you know, he's charismatic and all these things. And it's like, dude runs Xbox in a way that like hasn't been done before. How much gas does he have left, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. So like for me, Phil, I think this is his magnum opus. Like this is him building Game Pass. He wants it to be a success and then he can go, you know, wave off in the distance and go, Sarah, this is yours now.
Mm-hmm.
But like Xbox has done a fantastic job. You know, I think relating to folks more than ever. I think with this Activision deal and this CMA, I'm not going to like pretend I'm a lawyer or anything. I just find it intriguing.
What kind of a lawyer? Yeah, I thought you are a lawyer.
Well, you know, an M&A lawyer.
I thought you were a small town pizza lawyer.
I mean, I mostly small town mergers and acquisitions. Towns like to merge from time to time.
Do the voice, damn it.
Listen here, bud. Oh, country lawyer. I do declare.
The waving of the pen that nobody will see.
Right. It's just between you and I, Sean Dupree.
I'm enjoying it.
It's our little secret.
You got like your audience of one. I'm like, yeah, that's yeah. I'm entertained.
I'll rub it against my whiskers here.
That pen you have is a very satisfying clicky pen. The little button on the top. That's a good one.
It's a Windows phone.
Oh, like a branded. Yeah, Windows phone.
When they acquired Nokia and everybody's like, wow, they acquired Nokia.
They are serious about this. Well,
yeah. And? Yeah. So
history repeats itself, maybe.
History, maybe. But like it is, to me, an average person. I have to think like Sony's really impressed with Jim Ryan because I'm even impressed with him. I said it a little bit on the trophy room. I'm like, I mean, listen, for this select moment, I'm like, this guy has made Microsoft sweat. And I think there has to be a level of respect you got to give that. Like, I still expect this thing to go through, but I do expect caveats as well. And this guy who only cares about his cats and becoming CEO of Sony made one of the largest companies in the world sweat a little bit. And I think that's a big deal because, listen, as the villain in Iron Man 2 once said, if you make God bleed, no one will bleed him.
That's one of the bullet points you had for tonight. You're like, don't forget. You're like, you're at work earlier today. Pick up your phone, like, hey Siri, don't let me forget to do the Iron Man 2 reference during the show tonight.
It's not my birthday.
Hello, Alan Rickman. It is me, Alan Rickman.
Do you not find that fascinating? Like, you got these companies. No, really?
No, because I don't think it's. I don't think it takes any strategy to do what he's doing. It's really? I don't think so. And I think that he keeps, like always, he keeps stepping on his own toes. Like, let me bring up stuff about exclusivity that we do on a daily basis. Like, how do you think that's going to go in the long run? Even in the medium run, you know, like it maybe in the moment. Sure. Maybe he fools like one or two people.
It seems, and all those one or two people need to be is sitting on those chairs of that boardroom.
No, right? I think it's, I don't know, man. I don't, whatever. Maybe this is the heart of the console wars here, exactly. But like because Sony comes out of this, and I think people would agree with this. I think Sony comes out of this, or PlayStation comes out of this, looking like a bunch of weaklings. Like, oh, we can't do anything without Call of Duty, and whatever will we do? Like, PlayStation's better than that. And I think that, maybe if he's just doing it, like, do the means justify the end? I don't know. Because I think that there's a lot of damage to the brand coming out of all this stuff.
I would argue that it's a worse look. And I'm serious when I say this. It's a worse look to say, hey, we're going to buy this big company for almost $70 billion. And we're going to lay off almost 1,000 people because, you know, budget cuts.
But what is Nintendo doing? Like, Nintendo
looking for a recession.
Nintendo's not doing anything about this, and they're going to come away like totally fine. Like, I actually like that. And Nintendo has like this bravado in that. Like, they have a choice. They can try and stop this, but they go, you know what? We're not even going to enter the arena.
Well, because I think they tried entering the arena with the Wii U. Right. They're like, hey, we're going to try.
But I mean, like, to stop it from happening. Like, don't you think that it's weird that nobody's talking about this? Even that, like, crying Jim Ryan is over here trying to make sure. It's a good one. He's trying to make sure it doesn't happen. Nintendo's like, whatever. We're good. Yeah, we're not going to say, like, why wouldn't they say anything if this was a big deal?
Well, because I think they don't really do much business with Activision Blizzard in the first place.
But that's not what the point is. The point is, maybe that's not part of it, but the approval or not the disapproval, I guess, is based on, does it slant the scales in a way that makes competition not possible anymore? And why wouldn't Nintendo, like, they live in the same landscape? Like, Microsoft is going to be too powerful for Nintendo?
They're in this giant market.
Don't do it. They're in video games. They're all in video games. They're all on stage together. But it's Phil, Reggie, and Sean. That means it's the same.
But like, we've seen Microsoft try to enter Nintendo's arena or section of the industry, which is family friendly kids games, and it gets murked by Nintendo. It cannot penetrate that audience. Now, what Microsoft,
say it again,
can't penetrate. Oh my god,
you know what though, people forget, watch that documentary, Connected, awesome for the 360. Sure. The Connected, amazing. They just completely they lost sight of what their core audience Connect, they went too far into it. Uh-huh. But as an add-on, it did quite good. Did better than PSVR. Right.
Fuck you, bitch. No, but like the way that they've done it is with Minecraft, and even there, Microsoft's like, well, we have to be on Nintendo's platform for this thing.
Right.
Now, that said, PlayStation and Xbox's market or where, you know, there's a lot of intersection between these two companies, right? So I wouldn't say that there's a lot of, crossover between Xbox and Nintendo like there is of PlayStation and Xbox. Now, that being said, though, I do think, you know, Call of Duty leaving PlayStation, I'll say it right here, probably fucking best thing that could come to PlayStation, because all of a sudden you do have to compete. Yeah, the one of the biggest IP ever, movies, TV, everything, it's now not yours. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Xbox when PlayStation was the home of Call of Duty for at PS4. Like, and it wasn't necessarily an ownership transfer, but it was the marketing deals at the very least. Like, it does matter. I'm not trying to say that it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to say that I think Jim Ryan is doing something like he's doing like what any of us would do, which I don't think is impressive. Like, he should be operating on another level. He should be playing 4D chess. He should be 15 steps ahead. Well, and I don't think he is.
I think he is. So for me,
he's not even thinking.
So the way I see it is, what is PlayStation doing right now? If you were so sure that you're going to have Call of Duty for the next 10 years, why the hell would you invest in all these live service games? Because you probably know that you're going to lose Call of Duty eventually over time, right?
I don't think they're related. I don't think those are related. I think it's just
they're related at all.
No, I think it's just that's the way the industry is going. You need a successful live service game. Yeah, I think you can tie them together and happening at the same time, but it wasn't a cause and effect thing. I think they're more correlated than anything.
I think you're right. I think they're more correlated, but I do think that PlayStation's saying, okay, we're going to probably lose Call of Duty, so let's make some live service games out of some of our most renowned studios and some of the partners that we're making as well. And at the same exact time, we throw as many wrenches as we can in the hopes that we get to alter this deal, that there is something that benefits us in it as well, because this is business. It's not about right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it is about how can I get the best deal? So I think Jim Ryan could tie his shoe and chew bubblegum at the same time. I just don't see it, you know, as like you or Travis, as like something short-sighted. I don't know how much attention Sony is getting ripped away from, this whole CMA stuff or the whole regulatory happenings in US and EU and the UK.
I wouldn't be saying any of what I'm saying is if PlayStation had like a don't you think it's weird that they don't have like the same roadmap for PS5 that they did for PS4? And I actually complained about it with PS4. That's exactly true.
We all complained about it.
So but it worked. Like, that's the thing. It was a playbook that totally panned out for them. Like, what's Death Stranding? Let's talk about that for 6 years.
So I think what has truly happened behind the scenes of Sony, that's happened behind the scenes of so many places, is you ever heard of this thing called COVID-19?
Sure.
It is affected.
It just happened to Sony. It just happened to PlayStation. Yeah,
it just happened to Sony. Got it. Just like it's happened. Like, you're seeing the effects of it right now with like how, let's be real, and I'm sorry for the parents yelling and hooting and hollering in the background.
I can't hear them.
But okay, good.
Tell us, speak up.
How front-loaded this year was when it comes to games and the quote-unquote drought of AAA games in this year. So, yeah, I think development has hurt in multiple places. 2K's been having problems. Look at Ubisoft.
That's fair. All my point was, and that's fair to say, my only point was just that if there was some sort of playbook, I wouldn't be reacting to Jim Ryan's like response to the Activision stuff as I am. But I can see, like, the only thing that I'm hearing out of him is we're nothing without Call of Duty. There's nothing to balance that part out, is all I'm trying to say. And yeah, maybe if the reason for that is COVID, that's a valid reason. But what we're left with is nothing else. To me,
the one thing that I did like what the CMA did was, and Microsoft is, take us at our word. Take us at our word. Just trust us. Call of Duty, Call of Duty, it needs PlayStation to survive. Okay, we don't know. I like how Microsoft's like whole strategy is like, we can't make a good game. PlayStation, they're so good at it. We're just trying our best over here. Where they're just like, we can't just rip Call of Duty away. It's like, okay, well, have you met Bethesda and everything that you've done? Like, that's to me where I see the hypocritical lens as well for Microsoft, because they said the same song and dance, and now look, they're dancing around every single, you know, question of, is Elder Scrolls going to come to PlayStation, or is this going to come to PlayStation, when before they were just like, yeah, we're going to actually put these games in more places, and that's just not the case. So to me, I just feel like there's a whole lot of people slinging around a whole lot of shit, but the interesting thing
on shows that aren't called Console War Room, where this is the exact point of it all. All right,
yeah.
Where
I think the interesting thing is Microsoft's running around creating websites, saying what they need to say, saying, yeah, hey, look at, nothing's look how good if this deal goes through, internet, look, guys, this is actually great.
I think that's the thing that probably disappoints me the most out of the whole process is what actually seems to be mattering. Like some of these things that Jim Ryan is saying is like is being reflected verbatim in the report. It's not like they're doing any other research or anything. It's not like they go like, well, let's check out like what happened here, here, and here and counter it to, like, they're just going, well, we talked to this one guy who seems to know a lot about this video game business, and here's what he had to say. You know, there's nothing else. Like, I feel like this conversation seems more in depth than, well, yeah, than that. Well, than because that
they're just like, hey, this is their direct competitor, right? This is what
I just think the Nintendo's lack of care on this just throws all of it out the window. Like, I really, or at least maybe not all of it, but it should count for something.
Yeah, absolutely should. And again, I think this goes through. I think Jim Ryan is being a silly little goose, but mm-hmm. I understand why he's being a silly little goose. And I don't think Sony walks away from this battle scarred or looked bad. Like, people aren't going to buy a PlayStation 5 because Jim Ryan said that they can't make a Call of Duty killer. Like, nothing. Sony does not hurt from fighting this thing at all. They only things to game.
No, like, and you said, Microsoft, it's just there's nothing. There's nothing to balance it out. Yeah.
So I think it's more important of like, hey, what are your goals? I think it's beyond PlayStation as well. It's like, what does cloud service look like right now? Where will it be in the future? Where will you be in the future of this? Will there be competitors, or where are you going to stop?
And that's the other thing, though, too, is like, well, this would mean that Microsoft is the only one with some sort of like cloud proficiency. And it's like, well, why wouldn't you shut down the Gaikai thing when that happened? That would have put Sony in the only position to have any sort of cloud gaming like of its kind. Like, the moving goalpost kind of confuses me a little bit.
Sure.
And it's like, I mean,
well, it's not the moving goalposts. It's just Sony, like, take a look at Gaikai. Take a look at PlayStation now. It's awful. It's a bad service. PlayStation can't just create a cloud infrastructure off a whim, right? Like, you have three main competitors. You have, Amazon, their cloud service, you have Google, and then you have Azure. And those are the three folks that you're dealing with if you want competent cloud services. So I think the CMA is looking at things like, okay, so how is the market going to look like for cloud gaming? If Microsoft's the only one there and their lead is exponential, like it was in the 90s with Apple, then yeah, that's an issue to be had. My mother just hooting and hollering.
That one I did hear. That was, okay. Yeah, that was an animal.
She's singing.
I mean, sorry.
Oof. But like, how does the PC market look after this deal? How does the mobile market look after this deal? I think there's more than just the console stuff that we're focused on that these regulatory bodies are looking at. And they're the ones at the bean counters that have questions that looks like the answers aren't to their liking. Now, that being said, are they listening way too much to Sony? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then how much does it matter, too? I don't know much about the CMA and how much this all matters. Are you buying the controller? The Elite, the Edge?
Oh, okay. Thank you for getting us out of here. Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, I want to touch it. When can you buy one? Can you buy one for Extra Life? Will you have it there?
No.
Are you bringing your PlayStation 5 for Extra Life?
Real talk, I need to ask some folks to pre-order it for me because PlayStation Direct fucking sucks.
Oh.
And Sony hates me. Fuck you guys. I'm making this the achievement hall. Because every time I try to buy anything from PlayStation Direct, they're just like, there's an error. Sorry. Bye.
You just came over to our side, man. Come on. Get over here.
I'm trying.
It's nice. It's good stuff.
We'll find out after November 8th if I'm moving to Canada or if that's all just a bunch of hooey.
What's November 8th? Is it a politics thing?
Yeah, it's a politics thing.
Don't care.
That's right. Can I tell you one thing, though? They're at a debate, and this one guy put out a prop badge, and he's like, I work for the police. And they're like, sir, that's a prop. He's like, no, it's not. It's a real badge. And this shit looks straight out of, I swear to God, I swear to God, this looks straight out of like a Spirit of Halloween.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
Spirit Halloween. We have those stores. My daughter loves those
anyway.
But the controller controllers. Looks nice. Yep. Yeah.
It's doing a whole bunch of wacky shit. I like it.
What does it do?
Okay, so it's pretty much what the Elite does, but you can actually take out the analog sticks. So yep. When drift eventually happens, because let's be honest, none of them are figuring this out, and we should all just sue the shit out of all three of these companies. But you can actually
bring them down, man. Just burn these places. We don't need them anymore. We'll make our own.
Exactly. Well, we should have a class action lawsuit. Nintendo has like, they don't care. We'll just buy another controller. Oh, PlayStation gosh, don't care because they know that we'll just buy another controller. Xbox, that's all you fucking guys do is buy controllers, so they don't even care.
You know what's amazing? Like, you know, there are games to be played on Xbox now, but there was something to be said during the Xbox One era where it's just like, here's your control. Like, their big announcement was like the Elite control.
No, it's still every fucking week with you guys. There's a new Lunar White controller. Oh, now you can customize your fucking Elite controller. You can make it green and it'll break.
That's pretty awesome, though. Don't make fun of that. That's pretty sweet.
This is a glow-in-the-dark controllers. One.
Glow-in-the-dark would be great.
That would be fucking cool.
Did you ever see the PUBG controller is anti-grease somehow? Did you ever see that? Did you hear about this?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Green audience.
It just flew in. Boy, my crutch is tired. Very much. I'll see you soon.
That's right. But yeah, I like the controller. And I think, what do you think about everybody hooting and hollering about the price tag?
Well, I mean, it's expected. It's not really, right? I don't know if it's...
What price did you guys think?
I know, right?
The Elite controller is $180.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Core is $120, and it doesn't come with any of the cool knickknacks that you need to make the controller.
Listen, Joe, everything needs to be dirt cheap. The people who make them need to be paid $1 billion. And whether you're a voice person or an engineer or a programmer, I don't want to pay for it, but pay those people a lot of money.
Okay. Okay. Can we finally talk about the... Okay, so we're done with the CMA stuff. We're done with
I don't want to do CMA anymore. I'm tired. Oh, is that it?
I got one more topic you want to talk about. I don't know.
You have topics?
Yeah. I just thought of this, and I thought it would be a good thing to talk about.
Okay, sure.
Hey, Sean, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Yeah. What was your take on the Bayonetta thing, man? I want to know, because, you know, a couple of days ago, if you guys don't know, living under a rock, the Bayonetta voice actress is like, hey, they only wanted to pay me $4,000 for the role of Bayonetta. And also, Jennifer Hale, a bit of a skank. That I made up for. I think it was alluded somewhere.
Something like that, yeah.
And then Hideki Kamiya, who is a known to be douchebag to his own fan base and director of Bayonetta, came out and said, this is all untrue. And don't even dare to reply to me, paraphrasing, because I'm just going to block you guys. You fucking insects.
It's up to him. Whatever he wants to do to people. Like, if he wants to block people, whatever, man. If people want to block people, that's fine.
Yeah, but like, for just speaking English?
Whatever. He can do whatever he wants. He can block people. Like, it's, let's be honest,
I'm not saying it's, but it sounds.
Is it an overreaction? Probably. Like, I'll say that. But like, whatever, man. He wants to block people. Like, it doesn't look good. It's probably not in his best interest.
No. But it's like if I was just like, hey, any of you fucking krauts from Germany.
What? Germans? What do they have to do with this?
If you guys start talking German to me with your Hans and your
that's racist. This is different. Gretel,
I'm going to block you guys.
Well,
it
seems different. It seems to have a particularly racist slant to it. So I'm not going to say those are the same.
Kami is like, listen here, you insects, you speak English to me, you're out. It's like, if I did that same thing for like German folk, it's like, my brother in Christ, I get it. You know, English people haven't been the greatest to you, historically speaking.
Yep.
But like, it's like if I went to a German person and said the same thing, my beef isn't with the average German. My beef is with their like great grandpa.
I don't think you want to cross the Germans. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, they get a little angry.
Drellish is going to come after you, man.
I'm just saying. It's like my beef is with your ancestors. It's not with me. God,
what are we doing?
Don't yell at me about using a different dialect.
I talked about it a little bit on the Nintendo Drive. My main take, and this is probably not surprising you, I think you and I have talked about this sort of thing before. Yeah. I don't believe you should air out your dirty laundry in social media. I don't think that was right to do. I do feel for her in that if you're acting like that, you must feel like you've been backed into a corner. You have no other choice. That's a crappy place to feel. Like, we've all been there. Maybe not necessarily in the exact scenario, but where you feel like you've been hard done by, or you've been treated unfairly, and that you're going to have to do something extreme in order to like balance the scales again. Right. I get that, but I don't think that there was ever a positive anything that comes out of that, given what she did.
Yeah, it's just I think what she did was, looking back at it, hindsight, incredibly selfish, because I think she took a interaction that she had with management, and she put it upon herself to hurt the game's sales. And the only people that's actually affecting are the people at Platinum, and how Platinum has been over the last few years with some of the decisions from their management. They're on really shaky ground. So it's like the only people that you're hurting are actually the people that are working really hard on this game that want this game to succeed. Yeah. Kamiya is going to be fine. He's going to be driving his Teslas and, you know, blocking any person, a fan that just may speak a different dialect. That's him. But for the average Joe that is just working their hardest because they believe in this art that they're making, however thirsty it may be.
Yeah.
That sucks. That really sucks. And so to see... you know, folks come out of the woodwork going, this is accurate, or, you know, it's not 100% accurate. This is just one side. Cause you know, Jennifer Hale came out and she was fantastic about everything. Like, hey, listen, things happen. You know, being a voice actress is hard. What I don't deserve is getting yelled at by randos on the internet. And that's true. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think this person did not think whatsoever about the backlash that this could make. And because of that, that's extremely selfish and reckless. Because, yeah, it's not just hurting the hard workers at Platinum, but it's like, it's also affecting Jennifer Hale. She's getting yelled at of like why you even took the role in the first place and all this.
Yeah. Stuff. But in the end, though, like with Jennifer Hale, like she is positioned only to come out of this, like she handled it so well, I think, as far as like what she came back and said, and then she just can let this ride out, and it's just another notch in Jennifer Hale's a class act kind of thing.
Yeah.
When the initial thing was so deplorable, like I'm not making a comment on whether or not like what she was paid, whatever the truth happens to be, like I don't even know what it is, so that's not even part of my calculus here. Maybe she was paid or offered a ridiculously low amount. I don't like, to me, there it's separate. What the offer is can be insulting and low, but also coming out in public and complaining about it can also be bad too. Like it's an old, like two wrongs don't make a right kind of thing. I actually think those both can happen at the same time. So with that said, all Jennifer Hale has to do is not go down to that level. And she just kind of like, stays at her classiness. Yeah. She doesn't get impacted by that. She can do her thing, and she's not burning any bridges, certainly. You know, if people have a problem with her taking up the role,
she's
done.
Work.
She's done. And that's too bad. And that's part of like the whole like risk of martyrdom. That's probably what she thinks that she's doing, is trying to take a stand. But I don't know. Like this is where I empathize a little bit, because she obviously wants to initiate some sort of change, but I think she maybe could have like asked for some good advice and maybe rounded out her thoughts on this, instead of, it seems like she was honed in on this. Like she made up her mind at this time, like just before the game was going to come out, I'm going to try and torpedo the thing. And I don't think that's like that.
And I feel like it would have been maybe even a little better if it was like a year ago when this game was still.
Well, that's why I think like if it was really in the interest of trying to get better wages across the board, it would have happened sooner or something. And I don't know. I don't know all the details. Maybe she's like somehow like exempt from some sort of like whatever NDA she had, or if she truly broke it. Like, we don't know any of these details. So a lot of it is skepticism. And it's just another topic for us to talk about where we're like, we really have no idea what we're talking about, you know? Yeah.
And I feel like when it comes to the voice actor dilemma, because there's a lot of people that are like, listen, I bust my ass off, and what this woman has said isn't necessarily 100% wrong. Like, you know, I was listening to one of the interviews that Luke did. Lily James, I believe. She's a famous voice actress as well. And she's like, dude, there's times I come out of that booth and my literal throat is bleeding.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard work. You don't have to just be in a chain gang to know it. You know, or to know what hard work is. A lot of it could be just a lot of mental stuff, like what I had to do. Half of my day was like reading literally a textbook that was like this big, and then like learning how to do holds and stuff on clients. So like that was draining mentally, and it's also physical as well. So like I take a look at my job going, it's a lot of work, but I'm also taking a look at what these people are doing going, yeah, it's also an equal amount of work. It's a lot.
And that's the thing that gets conflated. That gets conflated in this stuff all the time. Like, you can start to apply that to pretty much every job. Like, why aren't engineers paid $1 billion? Why aren't teachers paid $1 billion? Why? Like, it's a really interesting thing. And you can comment on what's fair or not, but like, people are paid what they're paid for the jobs that they're agreeing to take. Like, I think one example is, people are not going to like this, but like, I look at like the WNBA, sure. I saw somebody going like, should WNBA players get paid the same amount as like NBA players? And a lot of people will say like, yes, of course. And then it's like, name your favorite WNBA player or team even. Mm-hmm. It's like, nobody has any idea. So like, how do you pay these people what you think that they should be paid? Like, where does that value get created? It's actually not a commentary at all on the skill, on the amount of work that goes into it, into studying, into all the things. It has nothing to do with that, but it becomes so quickly so personal. It's such a personal commentary, like, I am worth this much. It's like, that's not what that is. It is a marketplace, and that sounds gross to say, but I don't know.
I think it just speaks to more systematic problems that are just global and ever expanding. Like when I hear of situations like this, it more intrigues me of like, yeah, we know very little of what we're talking about here, guys. I would love to learn more, but the marketplace of podcasts don't reward that. And it's hard to get people to even talk to you about certain things, because you can have one interview. And, you know, Luke's a great example. He does this shit all the time. He's like, he gets articles posted on some of his episodes, and some of them get misconstrued. It's like, that's not the mission here of his, Adam Freeze video, one of the ex-execs, was just like to understand what it was like to be in his role. And all people got out of it was, you know, Ed Freeze doesn't like Game Pass. It's like, no, the article is so much more. And that de-incentivizes people like Fries and other folks to come out and talk about what they do for a living, because it just gets boiled down to a headline. So to me, that's where the frustrating part is. It's like, I would love to learn what the day-to-day is like for an environmental artist all the way to a voice actor,
mm-hmm.
or QA, but I won't, because it just gets boiled down to a headline, and that scares people off.
Big time. So
I think it speaks to a larger problem in this industry, I guess, to make a long story short of.
It's any industry. It's not just this industry. Like, sure. Even take podcasting, for example. Like, how many hours a week do you put into your podcast? Why don't you get paid more money for that? Like, if it's just based on the amount of work and how good it is, right? Like, it's only one part of the equation. And I don't know how many other factors there are, but like, it's not the entire thing. So it's not as like fair. Sometimes it doesn't feel fair, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And there's multiple factors at work that go, okay, well, this person gets paid this, and it's different than this person is worth this. People put those together so quickly. They say they get paid this, so there must be worth this. It's like, that's not really what that means. It's just that the economics of the project work out such that the team lead gets this much money, the artists get this much money, the voice actors get this much. And that's the part that it's impossible to really comment on this without seeing like kind of all of that. And then you could start to see and seeing it from multiple different perspectives and points of view from different projects and different games. Like maybe 2K has a certain model that they go, they pay the team lead like this and they make sure that they pay their whoever something else. Like maybe that's it. The thing I think that's also getting missed in this whole conversation is, and you guys briefly brought it up, I think, on your show, was there is a union for these people. And what have we been hearing screamed about in video games for 3 years now is that people who make video games need to have a union to represent them. So where's the union for voice actors on this? Why hasn't that solution that is being screamed at for the rest of the industry solved this problem for voice actors?
I think that's a great question. So it comes down to folks that are unioned and who aren't. So, for example, there are companies like Nintendo that will not go after union voice actors because the union says, hey, you need to pay us at least this amount. You need to treat us this amount. We need to get breaks for this. There's a lot of fine lines that you don't necessarily want to go through. And there are then, you know, the non-union voice actors that probably aren't as skilled or as, you know, I guess hardened or veteran.
But what games are non-union voice actors being featured on?
Great question. So I would assume,
and especially in like a main character kind of situation.
Yeah. So I would assume like people like Jennifer Hale, people like, oh my God, the voice of Joel,
Troy Baker, Nolan North.
They all have their SAG Astra credentials. But like this woman, and I forgot her name, unless I work 12 hour shifts, yell at me. She may not have a SAG Astra card on her. So Platinum could go, okay, so we're not going to pay you Jennifer Hale's rate, and we're not going to give you as many breaks as a SAG Astra person. So be okay with it.
I mean, you can see that as maybe being malicious on Platinum's part, or also maybe as a negligent thing on Helena's part. It's like, well, then get one. Like, if you want to, like, the answer is there. If you're sitting here complaining to the internet that you're not getting fair wages and you're not part of a union, but the union is right there, like, go get your card and don't complain. And I don't know, maybe she is. My point is, it does seem kind of weird to me that this union conversation has been very loud for a very long time. Suddenly we have the one instance in video game development where unions actually are represented and are there. And it's like, maybe this isn't the ace in the hole solution. And I hate saying that because it sounds like unions probably are necessary, but I just think it should be taken into consideration.
So it's kind of like how I can say it's not as simple as like, oh, you want a SAG Astra card? Okay, you're in.
You don't think so?
No.
You pay a fee?
No, it's not just simple union fees from what I'm aware of. But it's also kind of what you're seeing here in the teaching field, where it's like you have unions here in New Jersey, for example, very strong union for teachers. And what you're seeing start pop up are these charter schools. And these charter schools don't have unions to them. Mm-hmm. And so they are hiring cheaper teachers, which means their education, or newer teachers that aren't part of unions, which means that those kids aren't probably getting the education that someone in a public school may.
Yeah.
And now the flip of the coin is you have these elite Ivy schools, right? These elite private schools that aren't also part of the union either, but these teachers work and they're renowned.
Well, I think these are all examples of why unions aren't going to, they don't guarantee the outcome that I think people are looking for, is all I'm really trying to say. Teachers are a great example of this. You do have a strong teachers union has been running for forever, and teachers are still grossly underpaid for the responsibility that they take on, the difficulty of the job, the hours, the extra time, the things that they have to do outside of their, like, their out-of-pocket expenses.
Is if we go to a state like, for example, North Carolina, that does not have, and you are not allowed to participate in a union if you're in a public school, You're seeing that the teacher, oh my God, the teacher shortage that they have is because nobody wants to work for that low of pay,
right?
For not great benefits. And what's happening is you're seeing people, great teachers, leave because the stress is too much, the pay is too little, and there's no
support. I don't blame them at all.
Who's getting hurt? Kids.
Yeah.
So again, it's something simpler than like, oh, well, y'all said this is the solution and it's not. And I think my argument is, I think it's part of a solution, but it's not the whole thing. It's not, nothing gets fixed by the union.
I just think
people need strong voices behind them.
I think it's just against the narrative of video game developers need a union, and you don't want to bring this into that conversation.
No, and I think listen, and there's a deeper conversation for where it comes to what we see right now is just like it's still pretty divided. It's leaning union, you know, for the most part, but it's not like it's a. It's
and
it's
I'm, more I'm like not a anti-union, by the way. I'm not anti-union at all. Like that's not at all what I'm trying to say.
No, I think you were very pro. Like you're very pro child labor is when you were talking.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, you know what? I did have delivered papers when I was 8 years old. Yeah. Grade three. I've been working since I was 8 years old, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Refereeing that's soccer when I was 13. Oh, okay. Yeah. Minus 30.
Is that a job?
Refereeing soccer, dude, it pays good. Like like hockey referees and soccer. Yeah, if you go referee kids, who stuff,
knows, I may need a job.
After I'm telling you, man. Yeah, like $30 a game. It's pretty good.
So I think they're much bigger topics at hand. That
agreed.
Again, we can make assumptions on, and it sucks that that's the only thing we have right now because there are just so many people that are just afraid.
You're right. It is the only thing we have. Why can't we talk about video games?
Well, because I mean, video games are great and all, but like it's the industry that moves them.
The more these things continue to come up, the more I'm just like nuts to this, dude. And I just participated in it for a damn hour with you. And I just want to talk about games, it's fun, man.
This is nice.
I mean, I think it's an interesting, you know, I was going to say intellectual conversation, but I don't think that I've ever been part of an intellectual conversation, except for when I listen to Luke Lore, you know?
Exactly. It's fucking academic.
But like when we get into this.
Salutations, everyone. Luke Lore here.
Wow.
I'm a big piece of shit.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. I just want to talk about games, you know, not practice. I want to talk about games.
Well, we can. What have you been playing?
I don't know. I've been talking about this for the last hour. Should be playing Modern Warfare 2. Modern Warfare 2.
Let's end there. How are you liking this
movie? I didn't get far enough into it. I'll talk about it next week.
Do you think you were just saying a whole bunch of shit earlier? Just to
Definitely. Definitely. I will say I fired it up and it's like you're in this kind of like rock form. You're basically James Franco in 127 hours. You're like, ooh, I'm going to get stuck in this. Nice. In this kind of like. The setting, and I'm like, this looks great. Like it actually looks like the Dice Engine. What's the Dice Engine called? Is it the Dice Engine?
Frostbite.
Yeah, it looked like Battlefront 2. But Modern Warfare looked great. Looked real good. So
I'm excited. That's all I gotta say. I am excited about playing it next week.
Yeah, Call of Duty's fun, man. Dude, it's fun. What I want to talk about is sitting next to you and I get to meet Kyle for the first time. Brendan Myers has been there. No, he's
such a diva.
What?
I'm telling you.
Brian Murford is going to be there as well. Bobby Miller, dude. Like
Bobby Miller. Wait, is Court going to be there?
No, it's like his daughter's birthday or something. Like she has a birthday every year. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, stop bragging that you have a kid, Court. It's not that special.
Totally. Lots of people have kids.
And lots of people have kids. Yeah. You don't see Sean going, here's my ugly kids, you know?
Definitely not. Yeah, I'm leaving them 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to Chicago next week, and I'll be in New York the week after. Yeah.
You gonna have some Chicago pizza?
I don't think so, man. I don't think that's a good idea. Chicago
pizza's fucking good.
I don't think it is. Sorry to say, but I don't like...
It's a little...
It's a novelty. Like, it's a novelty. Yeah. You're like, oh,
you
wow.
You have it once. You have the, you know...
Yeah.
A heart attack from it.
Yeah.
You go, never again.
I first time I went to New York, I brought so little cash on me. Like, I actually thought I was going to be in trouble. Like, I scrounged together like a dollar or two for a slice of pizza. I'm like, okay, I can make it. Like, I remember thinking, like, it was like a video game, like Hunger Meter. Yeah. Like, I was getting dangerously low, like in a survival game. I'm like, if I don't eat in 30 seconds, I might keel over here.
Well, question. Could you show me the train that you're going to be on?
Yeah, 150, on 120 Rome.
Okay.
From New York. So we're going to be
I'm not going to remember this. I work 12 hours.
I've sent it to you like 100 times, man. Like, come on, man. You don't have this sorted out already.
I'm so fucking busy, dude.
How many kids do you have?
Oh, how many do I take? Oh, okay. You want 11?
No, like kids in your home.
Oh, the group home? It depends on which one, but about four.
Oh,
they're really cute.
I'll talk to Kyle and make sure.
Can I tell you a story that's really cute?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one person by the name of, I'll just say James, and James is super cute because he talks in like broken syllables, but he's the sweetest boy, sweetest young man, and he gets really sweet. He's very
like
sweet.
Like a chef.
Yeah, like he'll be like goodbye,
Borsky.
Yeah, goodbye. Like he talked like this. And he's like, goodbye, good day. And like he gets excited for just like the simplest things. Like, we're going to Barnes and Noble's. He's like, Barnes and Noble at 12 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, we're going.
Yeah, James. Barnes, like, that sounds great.
And he gets excited, like he blows bubbles, he plays with him. He's great. Well, he was gonna go get a his dessert at the end of the day, which is a candy. And we're doing training to have like put people in holds when they cause a ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing a hold for an individual that we're training, not like the individuals not in this room. We're training. So like James comes down the stairs and he just sees through his perspective. We're in a basement of a house. He sees five people hooked onto someone in a chair and like they're pretending to struggle. So it's like a pretend fight. And he just goes over, walks across the room as this happens, goes into the refrigerator, gets his pudding snack that he wants for dessert, and then just walks away. And he's like, good night, everyone. And I'm like,
amazing.
Son of a bitch.
Will not be distracted. I thought he was going to grab like a chair and like just jump into this WWE thing that's going on here. Like, no, Battle Royale.
No, there's one guy, I'll call him Eric. He walked in while we were instructing. And he just stands. He's like,
what are we doing today?
Like, we're doing something you're not a part of, you adorable son of a gun.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What are we playing first? I need to ask you this because what are we playing first? This is the thing. Like, we're not going to be able to schedule the whole day. This is impossible. What? Fall Guys
first.
No, we want to play. No, we want to be on the same couch. Same, like a couch co-op-y kind of thing. We have a couch and it's going to be sweaty and stanky. You know, I actually think we might need to get like a bottle of Febreze or something just to kind of
Febreze.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Do you guys have Febreze there? Is that a thing? Is that a.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's maybe a good idea.
I take big shit, Sean.
No Febreze. Oh, I think you use it like a bidet. You just take that Febreze thing and just like right up there. That's so gross. I don't know, something like four player, maybe Smash to start things out. We can have eight players on the same screen.
Yeah, Smash, you know? Brothers.
We're gonna have a 50-inch television.
Oh, how much money do I gotta chip in? $50?
Oh my gosh, it's all in the chat. Yes. From you and Kyle, please. Yes,
I have not seen it. Oh, and from Kyle. That cheap.
No, total. I think Kyle's probably Kyle's responsible. Kyle, you're lucky to have him. Let's just say that. And it's like me with Ryan. For that, we are the same. This is why we do this only once a month, because otherwise, like, there's no way we could do this weekly. We need a producer or something to keep us on track. Yeah. We're lucky to have our Kyles and our Brian Murfords. You know,
here we are.
Style Kevinson.
Honestly, because Kyle came in for the save this week because, like, the show notes were only half done, and I'm like, dude, I'm coming in. I'm fucking done. I'm gonna try my best, and I gave it my best.
Yeah,
and he came in. He filled everything out. He's fucking stellar.
You need to look at Kevin Ainsworth that made a lovely spreadsheet. Go jot down some games that you want to play. We'll get it all sorted out. But that's the thing. Like people want this sort of thing. They want our whole schedule for the full 24 hours. It doesn't work. We've been here before. It's not like we'll end up playing like Mario Kart for like 14 hours or something like
that. That's why I was telling one of them. I'm like, stop overthinking it.
That's what I'm saying. To start with. Just decide. We should have at least an agreement on what we're going to start playing and what vegetables and nonsense we can throw at the Nintendo dads who are going to sit in front of us. Those bunch of manscaping gorillas, you know?
That's right. You think they're going to use those disgusting shavers midstream?
You know what? I could see it. I could definitely see it.
Tim's on his purple mattress getting his fucking lung disease for
them. Oh my gosh. I will say
purple bacteria.
We have Lockleth drew a Jar Jar Binks image and it is horrifying.
She's fucking great, by the way.
She's awesome, dude. She's so good. Nintendo Drive is
okay, I guess.
Yeah, everybody we all know Seth.
Yeah.
But Lockleth is
texts me at Seth.
Oh wow. Hopefully he knew about it.
Oh no, he was very handsy.
Okay. All right. All right. So you don't know what you want to play to start. That's the only thing we got to decide. Everything else is we'll figure it out.
Know is I want to play Cyberpunk and I want to platinum it. Mm. I want to play Elden Ring.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to platinum that on PS4.
Yeah.
Maybe if you guys give me a goddamn code to your God of War.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. When does that come? It comes out after Extra Life.
Yeah, it comes out.
We don't have a code, man. I don't know if we'll get it until we don't have anything.
I hope you don't get it. I hope you guys are fucking.
You know what? I hope we don't get it either. Okay. Yeah. I hope we stop getting codes. We can just be like, we're outside of the PR machine, man.
Yeah. Fuck you.
We're on our own. Exactly. We're not going to be part of your marketing game, man.
I gotta ask people to come on for SEO purposes, bruh.
You know what though? You do a good job of that on your show. Yeah. Like whether it's if it's for that exact reason or whatever.
Yeah. Well, can I say one thing real fast?
Yeah.
And maybe this could be like the end topic.
Yeah, please, God.
You could trust game reviewers. The thing you can't trust is embargoes. Because I asked 5 different people, hey, you want to come on the show to just talk about Gotham Knights? And they're all like, nope, not risking it. This embargo is fucking nuts.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, and even Plague Tale. Was it Plague Tale? Travis was like, I'm like, even though it wasn't going to release until after the embargo, he still wouldn't tell you his thoughts. I thought that was interesting. Good for him. That's a.
Yeah. Hey, he's a very ethical man.
He's a professional person.
Yeah. He knows how to tie a tie.
And yeah, I didn't know about his take on the full Windsor. The full Windsor is the only way to go, especially for a stupid big head like me. I need to do a full Windsor.
Well, he's a very small boy.
I know,
he looks like a small child.
Yeah. Yeah, good for him.
I love Travis.
Lots of people are going to be there. Extra Life still happening. We're giving away tons of great prizes, so people should check that out. I feel like are you going to be, what are you doing? Are you going to be in New York for Nintendo 10 a.m. Friday?
No,
you're just going to be on the train and just kind of carry along. Yeah.
Okay. It depends on it depends on if I still have a job by that time. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah. We're still a couple weeks out. All right. Well, good talk. Hopefully we talk about games sometime in the future.
I think we talked about a lot of stuff.
I just want to play games. Speaking of, I'm going to play Mario Rabbids and Call of Duty. And
Mario Rabbids. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about Mario Rabbids.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to get a code, and we got an email. And it's like, if you want one, you can email us. I'm like, well, I didn't know that. Like, okay.
That's simple. All right.
Yeah, okay. Then I will.
Was it Ubisoft?
It was you. Yeah, and clearly they didn't listen to the Nintendo Drive where I was like, I mean, I've got a lot of games to play, so I don't think I'm going to buy this. It'll probably be half off by Black Friday. Like I literally said all those things. And yeah, so we'll see.
I love when I tell PR people like, hey, we're a PlayStation show. Love to cover your game. And they're like, OK, so what platform do you want it on? PlayStation show.
I know. They just go on to like, they're like, you're actually not talking to a person. You're talking to like an AI.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah. You're just an AI chatbot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I know, man. I love you. All right. I love you too. I think that's it. That's the end. I want new music at the end of this thing.
Oh yeah. Cuts a wolf room.